I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal! Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez, a quality goal from the Gunners!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 16th of January. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, the boss talks about a trio of contract extensions at Emirates Stadium. We also celebrate Theo Walcott signing for the club in this week's history lesson. The great Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard, but we kick off by looking back at the weekend's action with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, it seems like pretty much every week we do this at the moment, but let's have another reminder of how Olivier Giroud got Arsenal rolling at the weekend.
Ramsey through the centre to the right-hand side where Alex Iwobi is stationed. Iwobi through towards Ozil, looks to lift it on here for Ramsey. Ramsey towards Giroud! Oh, Giroud can't get the touch on that. That would have been a certain goal. It's wriggled through towards Alexis. Alexis back inside the box, looks to chip it towards Ozil with a header. Might fall Giroud! Definitely! This time, he does get the touch, finds the net, and Arsenal have the advantage here. Well, the first opportunity that was missed when he got nothing on it, thankfully does not cost the Gunners because Arsenal managed to recycle, and with the help of Alexis and from Mesut Ozil, Giroud finds the net.
So Giroud on the score sheet in a 4-0 victory for the Gunners in the end against Swansea. And I'm delighted to say that author Dave Seeger joins us now on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. Dave, good to have you on. And yeah, another important win to get some momentum back into this title race again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very, very important. It's nice to, it's always nice to have a clean sheet, but it's nice to score a few goals as well. So particularly after the lockdown, the road did it a little bit earlier in the day. So yeah.
And Dave, where do you make how things stand at the moment? We'll go there first of all. You've got Manchester City obviously losing heavily, yeah. Liverpool and Man United drawing. A good set of results for a lot of Arsenal's rivals. I guess Chelsea is again, and Spurs the notable exception.
Yeah, I must admit, I was sort of quite hopeful that Leicester having turned the corner might provide more a sterner test for Chelsea, but obviously didn't prove to be the case. It was disappointing. Obviously, I didn't, you know, didn't see anything other than a Spurs victory, but yeah, I did think Leicester might do us a favour.
Didn't prove to happen in the end.
No, sadly not.
But Arsenal do have a fair bit to take from it. Who stood out for you as one or two of the key performers on the day? Because it wasn't easy, was it? Swansea started well, and it was a game that was a little bit in the balance at one point.
Yeah, I think you're going to expect that bounce for a new manager, aren't you? You're always a bit nervous when you're going to play a side, particularly away from home, when they've got a new manager. And yeah, Swansea certainly started very brightly. They've always played good football. It's just the cutting edge in the final third I think they've been lacking. But no, we weathered the storm well. I think Mustafi looked back to his old self after a couple of shaky games, which was very important, because I thought certainly the Preston game, which I was to travel up to, he was so far off the pace. But no, good to see that solid partnership back. And we didn't really, the efforts they had were from outside the box. And I thought as soon as we got the breakthrough, we just went through the gears in the second half, and it could have been anything. So yeah, very, very good. And I think, well, I think you're going to talk about him anyway, certainly. But Iwobi, again, young player. You're always going to have periods where you're not at the peak of your game, and I think perhaps a few fans were starting to question whether he should be selected. And I know a lot of people wanted to see more of Lucas Perez, but Iwobi certainly came up trumps, didn't he?
Yeah, he is someone. Let's go there now. Who, as we know, took his opportunity quite sensationally, didn't he? And then I think any young player who then is playing effectively week in, week out will always have a little bit of a dip where they need to maybe evolve their game a little bit more. Other teams and players maybe find you out a bit, and it's how you then respond to that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. And it's also nice, I think, for Wenger to know that he can play Wobi in any one of those three positions, you know, across the, you know, behind the striker. So we saw him play very, very well, you know, in the 10 role when Ozil was ill, which is lovely to know for the future. And again, we've seen him mostly on the left. And then now, you know, Alexis has moved back out to the left because of Giroud's form. And Iwobi pops up on the right. And absolutely. But it was very fluid between the three of them, which is what I always like to see. When you've got those three completely interchangeable, that's when we're at our most effective.
Let's just stay with the attacking department for a moment. Obviously, Giroud, as we heard at the start of the interview, with another all-important goal. And Alexis Sanchez, certainly very passionate again, both on and off the field, and getting a sublime strike as well. The goals are certainly coming, aren't they?
Yeah, they are coming. And it's a tricky one with Giroud, because I think there aren't many Arsenal fans that don't like Olivier Giroud. You know his popularity, you can tell from the chanting and everything. But I think we do look a more fluid attacking outfit in general this season when he hasn't been in the team. But then how do you drop someone who takes his opportunity and scores all the time? My concern is, not so much on Saturday, but before that, he's been scoring the goals that have saved us. But my question is he partly the reason we need saving? Because we're not looking as fluid until Saturday with him in the side, just because the way Alexis was dropping into the hole, providing space earlier in the season for Theo or Ozil to move beyond, we seem to have lost that fluidity a little bit. But again, it did seem to come back a little bit on Saturday. So, yeah, food for thought, certainly for Wenger when everyone's fit.
Interesting point you raised there, Dave. Let's move back to that kind of defensive midfield, the engine room, the pairing there. Aaron Ramsey and Granit Xhaka playing together again and starting to get a little bit more of a feel, I think, for each other's game and how to play as a cohesive unit. Let's hear a bit from Aaron Ramsey, first of all, himself, speaking post-match, about the importance of going ahead after being behind so much recently.
You know, we've started the last few games and gone a few goals down, so you know, it was important today that we took the lead. We started off well, and yeah, we did that ever so well, and we scored a few goals in the end and come away with a convincing win. That was one of our main targets today, was to you know, not concede and go behind in the game, and I thought we defended very well. We nullified them to you know, a few half chances, but we overcome that, and then we play some good stuff and come away in the end with the win.
Well, that's Aaron Ramsey. And Dave, yeah, he and Xhaka finding their feet.
Yeah, I think so. I still don't, you know, I don't see that as our strongest central partnership. However, we don't have any choice, do we? So it is good to see that they seem to get the working in tandem a bit better. I mean, my concern with Ramsey, you know, well known for having my doubts about Aaron Ramsey, I'm not a huge fan, but, you know, it's the discipline. And on Saturday, he showed a lot more of that. You know, it's like the old Gerard Lampard argument, isn't it? One of them has to sit, and they don't seem to know which it should be when they're playing for England. And I think that's a slight concern. But no, Ramsey was definitely more disciplined, and every time Xhaka did step forward, he certainly stayed, and one of them will always have to. And of course, he's a very mobile player. He's great in the tackle, but Xhaka is definitely the better distributor. So it can work, and it should work. And hopefully, we've got a few weeks to see it, and it, you know, let's hope it flourishes.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, with Wilshere on loan for the rest of the season, with Onene at the Africa Cup of Nations, with Coquelin injured and Cazorla injured, we are going to see this for a while. So hopefully the chance for further evolution and further progress in what we've just said.
Yeah, I wonder whether whether Maitland-Niles, you know, I know he's been utilised at right back, but he has played most of his youth career, I understand, as a sort of a, you know, deeper central midfield player. So I wonder whether we might see a bit of him there as well, perhaps in the FA Cup tie. That'll be interesting.
We will wait and see. So, Dave, obviously you've got a new book out at the moment. Tell us a little bit more about it all, first of all.
Yeah, it came out in October, actually at the point where the first batch sold out just before Christmas, and we're just waiting for a second delivery for the publishers, so that's good news. Yeah, I did a book a couple of years ago with the Armstrong family about Geordie, which the club were very, very much supportive of and did very well, and I was sort of looking for a new project, and sort of inspired by the guy I sit next to in the stadium for this one, Alex Brooker, I sit next to, and just some of the stories he was telling me. And also, he was asked to do a biography, and when the publisher saw his outline, said to Alex, well, look, most of your chapters seem to be about Arsenal, Mr. Brooker. And he said, well, yeah, because most of, you know, I relate everything in my life that something happened at Arsenal, that's the way I am.
Nice.
And they said, yeah, but it might switch off half your audience. So he said, well, maybe we won't do it right now. So I thought, well, if you've got all these stories, Alex, you know, and Ian Stone and Alan Davies sit in the block next to me. So just the seed of an idea And it took about 7 months to put together. But I ended up getting to interview virtually every single, barring two or three, Arsenal supporting comedian of any note, and a few young ones coming through. So, and they were all happy to do it, because, you know, I think everybody, however famous you are, if you're a gooner, you're a gooner, and you just like talking about Arsenal, don't you? So, and we decided to do it in conjunction with Comet Relief. So they endorsed the book, and every as a percentage of every book sale goes to Comet Relief as well, which has obviously made sense because the subject matter was all comedian-centric. So, yeah.
Sounds like it was very fun, but also quite cathartic to write as well.
Well, it's one of the things, I mean, I love writing, I do a lot of blog writing, I'm a bit of a columnist, you know, I'm a columnist for Football London now as well this season, but what writing a blog is very different to writing a book, and it's not the writing that I find difficult, it's because I'm not a fast typist. The interviewing is fantastic fun. You record it, and it's then transcribing that sort of hour and a half chat into, you know, into a written form and then turning it into a chapter. It's a very, very slow process for me. But yeah,
well,
enjoyable.
Well worth it. And just a reminder, what's the book called and where can we get it?
The book's called Supporting Arsenal's a Funny Old Game. And at the moment, it's just available via Legends Publishing, who are the publishers. So legendspublishing.net / funny game actually takes you straight through to it. So you've got a lot of people in there that people will know. You know, Alan Davis is in there, Matt Lucas is in there, Dyro Brien's in there, Ian Stone's in there, Alex Brooker's in there, Clive Anderson's in there. So, you know, I think the only guys I didn't really get were Rob Beckett and Jack Whitehall, but virtually everyone else. And I don't know why, we seem to have a huge number of comedians who support our club, so good news for me.
Pretty decent return, Dave Seagrave. It's been great to have you on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. All the best with the book, my friend, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.
All right, thanks, Russ. Nice to talk to you.
The French trio of the prolific Olivier Giroud, Francis Coquelin and Laurent Koscielny, who of course racked up his 200th Premier League appearance at the weekend just gone, have all followed Hector Bellerin in committing their futures to Arsenal last week. Here's what Arsene Wenger had to say about those three notable contract extensions.
Arsene, Laurent Koscielny has signed a new deal at the club. How pleasing is it for you to see him commit his future to Arsenal?
I believe that he's one of the main players at this in the squad, you know, and is the leader at the back, especially since Per is out. And overall, he has the biggest experience now. He's really the strong player in the squad of a national team in France, and certainly one of the best defenders in the world today. And so I'm very pleased that he committed for a long term here.
Olivier Giroud's just committed his future to the club. How different a player is he now to the one that you signed in 2012?
He's a player with, of course, a big international experience. He has played many international games. He has played many Champions League games. And he is, of course, much more confident today that he belongs where he plays. But I believe as well that technically he has improved tremendously. And that he has qualities that nobody else has, you know. And on top of that, he's a fighter. He has shown that again against West Brom, you know. He can have a challenge, face it, and put the effort in really to achieve it. And overall, I think he's a much more complete player than when he arrived.
It's just been announced that Francis Coquelin signed a new contract. What were the main reasons behind the decision to offer him a new deal?
First of all, because he's a regular player in the side, he's has the best defensive statistics. His defensive numbers are outstanding. He has improved a lot, and he's one of the.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Players who has the biggest speed in passing, you know, between the moment he gets the ball and the moment he passes it, is one of the shortest. So he's capable. We want to move the ball faster than anyone. So he's part of that as well. So he can win the ball, pass it fast. And I believe technically has made tremendous strides forward compared to 2-3 years, because he's everyday focused.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's off for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 20th of January 2006, Arsenal signed a 16-year-old Theo Walcott from Southampton. Here's the boss talking at the time about Theo's arrival.
I've signed Theo Walcott because I like his pace, his ability to time his runs and his clinical finishing, and as well because he's an English prospect, you know, and it's important we have as well some young English players coming through.
We've picked out a couple of milestone goals that Theo has scored, including his first for the club in the 2007 League Cup final against Chelsea, and then another goal from a final, this time against Aston Villa in the 2015 FA Cup final.
Walcott. Here is Diaby. What a lovely ball through, and a chance, and it's the first goal! Walcott has scored his first ever goal for Arsenal, and what a day to get it!
What's the take? Super play here. That there controls it beautifully, and when you need a cool head, goodness me, did this young lad not show he's got what it takes?
Walcott up against Hutton. Great ball through. Monreal cuts it back. Ramsey at the back post. Alexis doesn't need him. A good effort going in the end. It is scored by Theo Walcott.
Charles Ngozi has been caught ball watching on the edge of the box. Theo Walcott making sure that he supports the play. Great decision from Monreal. When you get to the byline, you make sure you hang the ball up on the far post. Good knockdown from Alexis Sanchez. And excellent technique from Theo Walcott. What he's done there, he's made sure, because it's his weaker foot, he's just concentrating on a good contact.
Well, to date, Theo has scored 96 times in 364 Arsenal appearances, and we're looking to take a step closer to joining the 100 Goals Club this weekend. That's when Arsenal take on Burnley at Emirates Stadium. We'll talk about that next.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Adrian Clark joins me at the chalkboard. Clarky, how are you?
Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you in person this week.
Indeed. Not my favourite person, may I add.
I'm not going to gloat.
We'll come on to why later, of course. But our question at the chalkboard to kick things off, aside from Ozil and Sanchez, which Arsenal player would you like to see next commit their future to the club?
It's a really good question. We want Ozil and Alexis to commit sooner rather than later, of course. So hopefully we'll get good news on that front. A lot of players have renewed, haven't they, lately, which I think is great. Do you know who I would say? I'd say Jack Wilshere, because I know that he hasn't got a whole, you know, length of time left on his deal. And I know that he's not here at the moment, he's down at Bournemouth, but I think it would be good for Arsenal to secure him in the long run, because he's a class act, Jack Wilshere. And I think Bournemouth are enjoying his performances down there on the south coast. And with Santi Cazorla not getting any younger and the need for somebody to come in potentially and play, fill in for him or ultimately replace him. When I look around at the squad, Jack is the guy. Jack is still the guy that I feel is most similar to Santi, that he can look after the ball in deep areas, makes those transitions smoothly. He's a match winner. He's got wonderful contribution, quick feet, just as Santi has. So, yeah, for me, I would love to tie down Jack Wilshere to a long-term deal. He might want some assurances from the manager, I guess, that he's part of the plans, but it would be good to sign him up.
So we now move on to what is a very important game to come against Burnley. And Adrian, we've talked a lot on the podcast about how key it was that Arsenal got either maximum points or close to it. There's been the Bournemouth draw in this run. Yeah. In this run against six or seven teams in a row, with no disrespect, all of whom Arsenal could and probably should beat.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the draw at Bournemouth almost felt like a win, but it was two drop points. So that was a disappointment. We can't hide away from that. But Liverpool lost there. It's not an easy place to go. But yeah, this particular game, Burnley up next, it's got to be 3 points. The same as it was when we spoke about Swansea this time last week. The gulf in class between Swansea and Arsenal, it's so obvious. But you've got to go out there and beat these teams. You've got to have the right attitude. And Arsenal did. They did the job. And it's all about replicating that against Burnley. And after that, Watford, of course, when they come here to Emirates Stadium. So look, you can't sugarcoat it. It has to be a win. Has to be.
And Burnley as a team, excellent win at the weekend just gone, and they're just improving a bit more than last time they were up, if you know what I mean. There's still a similar nucleus of players, but one more time on, richer for their experiences. They just seem a bit more savvy and a bit more prepared and a bit probably better balanced.
Yeah, well, they've always had quite good balance under Sean Dyche. His philosophy is all about keeping that shape. Everyone knows their job. It's 4-4-2, 4-4-1-1. Everybody works their socks off, so that's not a problem. I think they're going to stay up, Burnley. Obviously, it's easy to say that at the moment. They're quite in a lofty position by their standards, but the home form's just superb. They will continue, I think, to get results at Turf Moor. It's away from home that they have been really shocking on their travels. So that if they suddenly do start dropping points at home, they need to improve on their travels. But yeah, they haven't got the formula right. At home, this full-blooded, frenetic style where you get in the faces of opposition works. Why they can't replicate it away is a bit of a mystery in a way, because it's the same pitch. It's the same, you know, it's not the same pitch.
They wouldn't
pitch.
Be alone there, though, would they, with this? Do you know what I mean? Away does seem to sometimes have this stigma.
Weird. It is weird. And it's obviously the different environment doesn't help and the support. But they really should be doing better away from home. But let's hope they don't start this week.
Joey Barton is someone that we should mention, of course. Not had the greatest few months, shall we say. One or two issues still hanging over his head. But he's back in the collective and making a key contribution.
Yeah. It was a good story, wasn't it? Him coming back and scoring straight away. I actually rate him as a player. I don't necessarily like his some of his opinions, shall we say. I'll leave it there. But he can play and he will make a contribution. The thing is there, him and Dyche respect one another. So I think that's not going to be an issue. I don't think he's going to have too many flare-ups. He rates Dyche. Dyche knows which buttons to press for Joey Barton. So I don't know if he'll start this game because he's still sort of short on match practice, isn't he? But he will be a key man for them as the season goes along. Look, Burnley are what they are. They're a team of workers. As simple as that. But what I have to say with Barton is that he mixes the work rate. He's got that in spades, but he's got a little bit of quality to it at times.
I'm going to highlight a couple of my key contributors. I'm a big fan of Michael Keane at the back, who's been linked with moves to some of the biggest clubs in the Premier League. Tom Heaton is an excellent goalkeeper who's fought his way into the England squad. There are a couple for me that I think could be important performers. Do they feature in your head-to-heads?
I think they have to. At the top end of the pitch, I will mention Sam Vokes. Sam Vokes is excellent in the air. He's one of the best players in the Premier League at winning headers. So it's very important that Arsenal try and knock him off balance and win the aerial battles. But also, if he does win them, got to be alert to the second balls. That is critical in this match. Burnley won't have many chances, but I suspect when they do, it might involve the flick-ons of Vokes. Yeah, in terms of my key head-to-heads, I think those two have to feature. I'm picking out the keeper, Tom Heaton, because it's been a one-man brick wall at times. I remember the Manchester United game, he made an unbelievable string of saves. It was the same not so long ago at White Hart Lane. Spurs had 30 shots on goal, and it was 2-1. He kept them in the game. So Tom Heaton has been the player of the season. I would say the goalkeeper of the season in the Premier League. So it is Alexis versus Tom Heaton. Providing Alexis gets enough shots and goal, I'm pretty sure he'll score at least one. And that might be enough. But yeah, Alexis v Heaton. We're going to see those two at loggerheads a lot in this game, I hope.
And in a sentence, Clarkey, how do you beat Burnley?
You beat Burnley by not underestimating them. It is as simple as that. Take them seriously, treat them like they're Chelsea, and Arsenal win this game easy.
Now, it's cold outside, as we know, Arctic at times, and Liam Roberts, the Arsenal Weekly podcast producer, has got a proper old-school puffer jacket on. It's like he's in the dugout, managing, tinkering himself, a little bit like the Michelin Man, let's be honest. Here he is.
I'd like to think more of like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
You're a massive Ghostbusters fan.
There we go.
Fan,
yeah, so yeah, I always like to bring it back somehow.
This explains it, yeah.
Yeah. So last week I asked you for a score prediction. I thought it'd be funnier to actually get you guys to tell us your experiences because you were both covering the game for Arsenal Media.
We certainly were. Well, yeah, I got to confess. First of all, I nailed it, didn't I? Let's be honest. I don't want to gloat about it. And it didn't get a mention on the match day show, honest. I did bring it out. Shameful. But the truth is, at 4-0 up, I was hugely celebrating. And then it ruined my enjoyment as the final 15 minutes because I was desperate for Arsenal not to score again, which goes against all that I normally wish for. So it was a weird feeling, but I couldn't wait to tweet you afterwards, Russ.
And I did exactly the opposite on my TV comment. And gave it the big sell at 4-0, got very excited, left delighted with the Arsenal win, happy with how the game had gone, switched my phone back on as I left the studio and I was like, oh no, it's the mother load, it's the 3-point haul for Clark.
And I was trying
with
to give
the
you,
perfect prediction.
I was trying to give you a chance as well. 4-0, I thought, I'll go a bit freestyle. And
so I think we've established then that Russell Hargreaves, professional to the end, Adrian Clark, not in the least.
Not at all.
But sadly, look who is now streaking clear, having been behind all the way through.
17 points to 12 now, so Russ, you've got it all to do. So, this week, Burnley game. I think this game might be a bit like the West Brom game, where Arsenal just ping the ball around, lots of passing. Yeah. So I want to know total passes for Arsenal.
Oh, it's a really interesting one. Because, yeah, you would imagine, I mean, I'm just thinking about how Burnley played against Spurs. They parked the bus massively. They did it at Old Trafford. They're going to do that here. I know they are. It'll be six at the back. We had over 800 passes against West Brom, which is unbelievable. Against Palace, it was more in the 650-ish region. I think I'm going to go with 699 passes.
Okay, interesting.
I was
told previously, of course, not to be boring and play a very, very calculated but very negative game. But I'm 5 points down. I'm going to go 700.
The long road back, step by step, 1 point at a time.
Bite away.
So what happens? So if you're nearest the pin, it's a 1 point. Because we're not going to nail it, are we?
Let's be honest. No one thought you were going to nail it when you got the aggregate the aggregate shots on target.
Within 10 passes and nail?
Yeah, should we say, okay, if you're both happy with that?
Within 10?
Within 10.
It's a 3-point haul. Yes, I'm happy with that. Yeah.
10 either way?
Well, it has to be, doesn't it? Yeah, 690, I get it. Yeah. 709, you get, or whatever.
That's fine to me.
Okay, as long as you're both happy with it.
We'll bring it on. Liam, great to have you back. Thank you very much indeed. Go and enjoy a couple more marshmallows. And Clarky, a pleasure, my friend. When do we hear you next?
Oh, goodness me. I am on commentary duty, actually, for the Burnley game. Really looking forward to that here at Emirates Stadium.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks as ever to Arsene Wenger, to Dave Seeger and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can find us on Acast as well. And you'll never have the excuse to miss another episode. We're back on Monday, the 23rd of January. Until then, it's bye for now. And come on, you Gunners.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.